There's an old adage, at least here in the United States, that there's no such thing as bad press. Well, that's not the case if you're Boeing, the giant American aircraft manufacturer. Boeing has been in the news a lot lately, and none of that news has been good. I'm not talking just about the company's 737 MAX 8s crashing and killing everybody on board. I'm talking about other issues. In one case, part of the fuselage broke off a plane in mid-flight, creating a gaping hole in the side that nearly sucked out a 17-year-old passenger. In another case, a tire fell off a Boeing plane during takeoff, destroying a car in the airport parking lot. And in yet another, an external panel fell off a plane in mid-flight and nobody even noticed it until the plane landed. And in the midst of all this, a Boeing whistleblower providing ongoing testimony on safety issues committed suicide. Boeing has long been the largest airplane manufacturer in the world. Sure, it's neck and neck with Airbus for years now, but Boeing also has a massive military division providing aircraft and aircraft parts to the U.S. and to allied militaries. The company is worth a whopping $112 billion. Boeing used to be one of those companies that literally everybody knew and trusted. There was a time in the not too distant past when practically every passenger plane in the United States was made by Boeing. The company was the biggest employer in the U.S. state of Washington, and even the two senators from Washington were known as the senators from Boeing. But things have changed over the years. The company has faced increased competition from Airbus, the European aircraft manufacturer, and Airbus has successfully sold planes to U.S. carriers, long the sole domain of Boeing. A few years ago, the company moved much of its operations to the southern U.S. state of South Carolina because Washington state is a union state and South Carolina is not. That way, the company could pay lower wages to non-union employees. Things went downhill from there. It's still unclear if what Boeing is seeing is a breakdown in safety, a breakdown in leadership, a breakdown in the manufacturing process, or just plain bad luck. But whatever it is, the company is facing the prospect of billions of dollars in fines and lawsuits and a future that is not at all bright. We're happy to be joined by Jamie Finch. He's the former director of Government, Public, and Family Affairs and of the Communications Center at the federal government's National Transportation Safety Board. Jamie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate that. Jamie, I'll admit that I didn't really start paying close attention to Boeing until just several years ago when two Boeing 737 MAX 8s crashed and killed everybody on board. We learned that there was a problem with the software, and try as they might, the pilots could not regain control of the aircraft as they plunged to the ground. Lawsuits against Boeing are still pending because of those crashes. At first, the company blamed the pilots, but they finally admitted that it was actually a software problem. Did the company then enact any policy changes to strengthen safety, or did they consider the crashes a one-off that didn't really need to be addressed, at least in a comprehensive way?
No, they actually took it very seriously because this is 737 MAX series has been the fastest of plane series that Boeing has ever had. The 737 has been a workhorse since the 1960s, but this new MAX 737 is basically a totally new plane. But it's based off of the old platform. Boeing did have to take serious matters, take this very seriously and take the matters in their own hands because they were going to lose a lot of money. They're going to lose a lot of clients and airlines. They put in a new software system. They updated the software system for the MCAS. They put in new pilot manuals, new training for the pilots, and a lot of other updates that were essential in making sure that this didn't happen again. But these issues came from the fact that Boeing tried to rush the system and make the plane get out faster than it should have.
I see. It seems like since the time of those two crashes, now about 7 years ago, that safety has just gotten worse at Boeing. I'm not talking about a simple software problem. I'm talking about overall safety. And indeed, the National Transportation Safety Board issued a statement in January of this year saying that the onus was on Boeing, not on the NTSB. The NTSB statement said very, very plainly, we are not Boeing's safety department. I can't imagine a clearer signal to the company to get its act together. What happened next?
Well, I mean, it clearly there's an ongoing problem. They chopped off the head of some symbolic people, including the CEO, but at the same time, don't feel sorry for him. He got this extraordinarily good golden parachute.
I bet he
did. So it wasn't like he was just ditched on the side of the road. A few other people, and I have not ever really seen or heard of anybody being taken accountable or held accountable at FAA, held accountable at FAA. At Boeing, there should have been more people. There should be more oversight. I think a lot of people, you know, it's human nature. When you have time between an incident or accident, people just start to forget. It's not that they don't want to pay attention, but they have to go about their lives. I mean, they got work, they got to keep a roof over their head, feed their kids, all those kinds of things. And so this kind of goes into the back burner, on the back burner of their mind until another incident happens.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, because of the pandemic, a lot of this was put on the back burner in people's minds because they had so much other things on their mind. And I think it's safe to say, though, if we're looking at where this is all coming from, it comes from the top down. I don't care who is saying that, you know, and who is actually doing the work on the floor. The guys, men and women on the floor of the factory are not the ones who are making the decision, hey, let's make up this plane or let's design this thing some guy differently or let's not do a half-crap job, because they are put under a lot of pressure. But they're only following orders. They're soldiers in this thing. They're not the leaders.
Right.
You need to go after the leadership.
Jamie, just in the early part of 2024, we've seen more than a dozen safety incidents with Boeing. Everything from tires falling off to parts of the fuselage blowing off to electrical outages and even engine fires. Am I incorrect in thinking that this looks like a systemic breakdown in maintenance and safety even? How can something like this happen almost every day? And why is it happening to Boeing and not to other manufacturers?
Right. Well, I'm of two minds on this one. You can say that these are just horrible coincidences that have happened. And also, a lot of these things that you just mentioned are more of an airline problem than a Boeing problem. That wheel falling off, some of the panels, those things are maintenance issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, problems can happen whenever you have a humans involved in a situation. You have human error, and that's the number one cause of accidents and incidences. And so that is where I would really concentrate on the safety procedures and the training that these people are getting. Are they getting proper training? Are they being properly supervised? Is there a proper check of their work? I think that the airlines and others have tried to cut back costs because profit is more important. Now, that's not saying that they want to cause a crash if they don't want to crash, because a crash is very expensive to them, both as far as the monetary, monetarily as far as just the cost of it that way, but also the cost of their reputation. So, with Boeing's other part, I just think that the main problem is, while this is all going on, is that everybody's really focused on it right now. I think a lot of these things happen all the time anyway, Everybody's really, really focused on it right now.
The NTSB statement that it's not Boeing's safety department in mind, what do you think happens next? I can't imagine that the government just trust Boeing to do the right thing. What's the process of oversight that we should expect to see?
Well, you see, with this entire process and the way they've been doing it for the last decade or two, maybe a little bit more, they've had this relationship where FAA does not have the resources to be able to monitor everything as it properly should. It's not really able to, excuse me, is really not able to do that. So they created this deal with Boeing where they would share responsibility and Boeing would self-report.
Yes.
Now, this was completely 110% dependent on trust. Mm-hmm. And now that that trust has been broken and Boeing has proven to not be a bad player in this, you have, this backlash going on. Now, at the same time, Boeing, you could say that Boeing's been getting away with murder because FAA hasn't been paying attention. You could also say that some of the people that are FAA that were supposed to be watching them and being oversight were not doing their job properly because guess what? They want to find a job with Boeing after they leave FAA. So there's a lot of caveats here that need to be flushed out and get to the bottom of this because ultimately, at the end of the day, we're talking about people's safety and their lives. And number two, we're talking about thousands and thousands of jobs across America and even around the world.
Without a doubt. Jamie Finch, former National Transportation Safety Board official, stay right there. The story gets darker. We're going to continue our conversation about safety at Boeing right after a short break. You're going to want to stay tuned.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Wars are a result of lies. If wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth.
The importance of WikiLeaks can never be overstated. That transparency is an extraordinary journalistic achievement.
They just succeeded in finding documents that existed and making them available to the world public. I mean, what could be more honorable than that?
By publishing information and sharing information with the public, he was exercising the right to free speech. He did so in the public interest.
I've watched a tsunami of lies and smear engulf him endlessly, vindictively, perfidiously, and I know why they smeared him.
Isn't it ironic that no one who instigated that illegal and immoral war has been brought to justice? But the great truth teller sits behind bars, waiting 175 years of virtual death sentence. Are we going to let that stand?
Подрыв. Для мирного населения никто пока еще не делал. Но используют ее украинские войска против мирного населения в основном.
А как это назвать, если не терроризм? Садик рядом, школа рядом.
Этот предмет разработал инженерами для того, чтобы делать человека калекой.
Я хочу досмотреть все до конца и увидеть отцу.
Большинство снарядов рядом с домами, в домах. Рискуем очень сильно, достаем.
Все будет хорошо. Победа будет за нами.
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with Jamie Finch. He's the former Director of Government, Public, and Family Affairs and of the Communications Center at the federal government's National Transportation Safety Board. Jamie, thanks again for being with us.
Sure.
Many of us were appalled when we learned of the death of Boeing whistleblower John Mitch Barnett. He oversaw a dozen safety inspectors at the Boeing manufacturing plant in South Carolina. Boeing had moved production of the 787 Dreamliner to South Carolina, at least he says, to get away from the machinists union. The problem was that there weren't enough qualified machinists in South Carolina, and Barnett soon said that his job was a nightmare. Can you lay the groundwork for us here? What was the nature of the problem that Barnett encountered early on?
Well, I mean, it's just like you said. I mean, I don't blame Boeing for moving to a state where it was non-union, but they need to be more prepared for this because if they don't think they're going to have the employees down there and to be able to properly maintain their factory and the quality of their product, that's a huge mistake on their part. And that right there, I mean, like I said, I don't have a problem with them moving and trying to save money, but at the same time, they're trying to move and save money at the cost of safety. It's great for South Carolina. It's great to see these jobs coming into the South. It's great to see the wealth being shared, if you will, in other states. But at the same time, you've got to have the resources, the tools, the people to be able to support it.
Right.
And also very necessary to train them properly. Mm-hmm. I don't care what level it is. Train them properly.
Barnett said that in the Washington manufacturing facility, each safety inspector was in charge of supervising 15 mechanics. In South Carolina, each safety inspector was supervising 50 mechanics, and many of those mechanics, he said, were working in restaurants a month earlier. Can that possibly be true, or was he exaggerating? Is the root of the problem here as simple as the allegation that Boeing did choose profits over safety and didn't have enough qualified personnel?
Well, I mean, I don't know, but what he's saying is true or not. I mean, I can't tell you, and actually, no, we can't ask him now. But it's unfortunately, it's a very sad situation. But it's also very suspect, I got to say. It's really, really suspect.
Yeah.
These coincidences that happen left and right for the Boeing. Can you imagine if you're going from 15? Mechanics that you're supervising to 50.
Crazy.
I mean, that's quadruple. I mean, you know,
it's
quadruple
incredible.
What you've been doing almost. And so it's really irresponsible, and surely to goodness they could have found somebody, even if they had to go poach somebody from Airbus or something,
right.
or Embraer or something.
Right.
I mean, come on, it's Boeing. I mean, we can bring in anybody, and definitely putting in these going at these universities and schools and bringing in these young people to train them to be, you know, who are engineers to begin with, but to train them in the Boeing way, which I'm kind of scared of what the Boeing way is now, but it is something that that we need to really get. They really need to get back to, because Boeing was always an engineering company. I don't want to emphasize this. That was their culture. That was their background. That was the nature of the company that they started out with from the beginning. But when they were acquired McDonnell Douglas in the 1990s, for whatever reason, Boeing took on the McDonnell Douglas culture, which was more about profit and bottom line.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea why they did this, but they did. And I think that money motivates, and people start seeing the money, start making money, and they're like, okay, well, we'll stay with this model. It's better than our model, which was costing us, we weren't as profitable before. I don't care what your profit is. If you're out here selling a product that's transporting people at 35,000 feet in the air, going 600 miles an hour, you better have a doggone good product, and something that is going to be safe, secure, and something we can all feel good about getting into, not trying to change our flights and change our travel plans to get off of that plane.
That's right. Mitch Barnett was so appalled at the safety oversights at Boeing that he became a whistleblower. And he had been giving testimony in this major civil suit against the company. He had provided two depositions. But then earlier this year, just before he was scheduled to appear for a third time to give a deposition, he killed himself in the parking lot of a hotel. What kind of pressures do you think he must have been facing? Do we know any of the details of his testimony in these depositions, or what may have driven him to make such a drastic move?
Well, obviously there's issues that he was raising that were very important and very relevant to what's going on. Now, if you wanted to play devil's advocate, there's those who could say, oh, this is somebody that was disgruntled, that had an axe to grind, that was not paying attention to their job because they were having an affair, which I've read in somewhere in one of the papers, which I was kind of shocked to be hearing. And I just thought that these, because what I was reading was, this is not facts. This is not getting to the problem. These are distractions.
Yes.
Oh, he was having an affair. He was doing this. It was a love triangle. Come on, stop talking about that. Just get to the problem. Stop trying to smoke screen this and let's get to the problem. And, you know, it makes it very scary for people who want to be a whistleblower, because you're always told if you're a whistleblower, you're protected. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say this gentleman didn't have problems and issues. Like, you know, we've all seen suicides happen. They come out of the blue. But doggone it, this thing's so suspicious. I mean, it has to.
I thought so, too. I have to say that the timing of this doesn't make any kind of sense to me. If he decided to be a whistleblower years ago, and by all accounts, he had an incredible memory and was able to recall very specific dates and events that took place on those dates related to safety and related to inspections. If you've already given two comprehensive depositions and you're preparing just a few days later to give a third comprehensive deposition, then why at that point would you take your life? The timing just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And quite frankly, if you were going to do something like that and you were upset about something else, wouldn't you write something down as a point, you know, for
Absolutely.
Your legacy to protect what you had done? It just smells so bad as far as, it just stinks of inappropriate behavior.
I couldn't agree more. And that actually leads to another question is, he was the star witness. He was the one providing the most comprehensive information. So what happens to the civil suit when all of a sudden he's not there? And not only is he not there, but Boeing is not going to be able to cross-examine him in a court of law if this were to go to trial. Now what happens?
I have no idea what the legal ramifications are and what the next steps are as not being an attorney, but I can't imagine people just saying, oh, well, he's gone. We're not going to go any further into this. We're going to look at this. Somebody's going to have to pick up the mantle. You know, you're having a company that is not doing what it needs to be doing. And it's responsibility in doing. You have a company that is fighting against the NTSB and resisting things, and all of a sudden they can't find the records where they had fixed the plug in the door in the repair records. I mean, come on. I mean, all this adds up. It's almost like a bad novel. I was turning into a John Grisham novel, quite honestly, but not one of his good ones. They've just got somebody has to pick up the mantle, and I imagine it has to be Congress, somebody with some real authority to make this happen.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, this is an ongoing problem all over government is, it really is up to Congress to provide the appropriate oversight. But then even Congress, as bloated as many of us, you know, tend to think that it is, they don't have the staff for comprehensive oversight. And so it's this cycle that just keeps rotating.
Let me make one more observation about Congress. I'm glad you brought that up. It's because you said they don't have enough staff. They don't. But at the same time, our country's run by children. The average age it seems like it's 12 years old. These staff members, and they're being overturned left and right all the time.
Yes.
And so
that's
it's
a good
because
point.
They don't get paid. And these staffers, I'm going to I was a young kid one time working in Washington. And I know how it works. You go to the Hill, you work the Hill, and then you find a contact, and you go get a better paying job somewhere.
That's right.
That's how it works.
That's right.
But since the pandemic, these staffs on Capitol Hill in Congress have have rotated at least three times, and not all of them. There's a few, but the overwhelming majority. And so these people have no corporate knowledge and memory of what is going on.
Yeah, so true. Is there any momentum now for safety changes at Boeing, Jamie? Do you think the company has finally hit bottom and can begin repairing itself? And will the government ensure that improvements actually are implemented?
I think that the way you're going to see improvements with Boeing and getting them to do stuff is bottom line. Mm-hmm. It's money. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to, the airlines, if the airlines aren't buying their product, guess what? You've got a problem that you are going to be losing billions and billions of dollars. And let's remember, as you mentioned early on at the beginning of the interview, Boeing has a huge presence in defense. I mean, like huge, really huge. And that's where their bread and butter really is now.
That's right.
But their reputation part is more on in the commercial airspace area, because not a lot of people don't know what they do in defense, space, those types of things that they're really involved in. And so it's not just about aviation, you know, planes, commercial flights, commercial aircraft. It's also about defense issues.
Yes.
Huge, huge defense contracts. And, you know, they've got to get to the point where they are stopping the bleeding of money. And that's what is going to drain them dry if they don't get control of it.
That's right. Jamie Finch is a former National Transportation Safety Board official. Thank you for your take on Boeing and on the death of Mitch Barnett. Sir Brian Appleton, a British safety advisor, once said, "Safety is not an intellectual exercise to keep us in work. It is a matter of life and death. It is the sum of our contributions to safety management that determines whether the people we work with live or die." He was right, of course. Now we'll see if Boeing can live by those words. I want to thank our guest, Jamie Finch, for helping us to understand this complex problem. And thanks to our viewers, too, for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We'll see you next time.